Yes, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome. And for those of you who are repeat offenders, welcome back to the Conscious Basket Show. My name is Samantha McCord and I am the founder and CEO of Conscious Basket. And on the show, we are going to be interviewing extraordinary people just trying to make a difference in this world and giving you tips on how you can too. So as always, if you like what we do, please subscribe, download a couple episodes, and leave a comment below. I will read them all. But for now, let's just dive right in.
I want to say that we all have the power of voting our way of consumption. Every day you vote for a better world by eating this product, by using this jacket, by wearing this backpack. So every day you have to choose of getting active for a better world.
Today, we welcome Ari, a co-founder of RCO, which is a family-run company who designed a backpack that's comfortable, stylish, and ethical. They offer a product that respects the animals, the environment, and the work of men and women. In the episode, we cover what it's like to work alongside your family, creating a movement to promote vegan, ethical fashion brands, how to explore these brands in a 3D virtual environment, and quality alternative materials to leather. Let's dive right in. Hey guys, welcome back to the Conscious Basket Show. My name is Samantha McCord, the founder and CEO of Conscious Basket. And today we have the pleasure of welcoming Ari. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello Samantha. Hello everyone.
Hi. He's really special. I think that what's unique about Ari is that he has two things he's working on. He's one of the co-founders of a vegan, sustainable purse brand out of Paris called RCO. And he also works with his brother on a movement to help protect animals called Fake. So welcome, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm happy. It's a pleasure for me as well.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just dive right into it. You have a really unique story with the purse brand RCO because it's a family-run business. Mm-hmm. So you've got your dad, your mom, your brother, your sister, the whole gang's there talking about how you're going to make this wonderful bag accessible to all, but starting in Paris. But tell us a little bit about the family dynamic and a little bit about you guys.
Yes. Well, RCO, it's a family business. We run this business we've been running this business for 5 years, and the real founder is my father, and then we came helping my father more and more, the kids, my mother, and now we all work together as a family business.
So nice. But you guys don't all live together, right? You have people all over.
Yes, it's true, because I live more in the countryside of Paris, my parents in Paris, and my brother in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's quite the time zone difference. I know it's 9 hours. You guys are technically working around the clock all the time.
Yes, exactly. It's true, because daytime I'm working in Paris, and when it's nighttime in Paris in Europe, my brother is working as well. So it's quite funny, because when I wake up in the morning, my brother makes a kind of a report every day. And then at the end of the day, it's my turn to talk about the business to my brother. And it's true, we work all the time, actually.
Like, you wake up from in the morning, you're like, okay, what's the update? I don't know what's
Yes,
going on.
Exactly. It's so funny. Every morning I know I've got my notes, vocals, and I check all the notes about what happened for the business. So it's pretty much the way we work together.
And that's interesting too, because your brother moved out to LA, but he's the one who introduced you to like this vegan lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. It's been 7 years that we've been vegan. First of all, for me, it was a challenge, because when he came to me by saying, okay, I'm vegan, I didn't know actually what vegan meant at that time, because it was 7 years ago. We didn't know that word it was not very popular. And then he told me, okay, look, watch that video, and then we will talk about that later, because I was saying it's impossible. I will never be vegan in my whole life. Mm-hmm. But then when I watched that video, I said to myself, oh my God, this is crazy, because I have to make the steps like my brother. I have to go vegan with him. So I wanted to make it like a challenge for 1 week. Then it extended to 1 month, and then 1 year. And what's crazy is that at the end of this year, I decided to run a marathon, because it was a plan for me to run a marathon. And I ran a marathon at the end of this vegan year. And it was crazy because I had all the power that I needed, and I was super healthy, and I ran the marathon less than 4 hours. That was the achievement, the goal that I wanted to do.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah. And I was so proud of me. So then, you know, when you're vegan during 1 year, you cannot step back. I mean, I kept being vegan, and it's been 7 years like that.
That's so fun. I think it's like everybody, when you're first presented with being vegan, everyone's like, how could I ever do that? What? And especially being French, like, what about the cheese, right?
Exactly. In France, we are stick into our traditions. We are very traditionalist, as we said. So, for example, for food culture, we love our food. We don't want to change, especially for the cheeses, as you said, because cheese is so important. And even for me, I loved cheese so much. And I still love cheese. But what is good is that nowadays, it was not like that 7 years before. But now it's pretty possible to have great alternative to cheeses. So when I have like a really, I'm craving of cheeses, I just choose the best vegan versions of the cheeses, and it's delicious. So no excuse. Now it's possible to have, everything is veganizable, if I may, in English.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, there is no excuse. It's, you can get delicious food in vegan versions as well.
And it's nice too that you have so many good influences in your family. I mean, your brother talked to you about going vegan. Your father was the, you know, staple of entrepreneurship in your family. Mm-hmm. And he started off selling bags in Paris, just really more like a reseller, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about like his early entrepreneur years.
So he used to be bags resellers during 25 years. And then he had in mind the project of building up his own brand, because he had in mind especially one backpack model that is actually right here.
Oh, let's see it. I love it. It's so cute.
Yeah. Well, this one is quite particular. Because it has the same touching in the texture of snake, but it's not snake. So I'm sorry to present this one in particular, but
it's cork, right?
It's cork. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But it used to be like that, more simple with a synthetic material. And it looked like leather. And this is the model that he had in mind. So he wanted to create his own brand with this model. And we had a great success, especially because of the patented closure.
Okay.
And this is how we started the brand, because this is an invention that it's copyrighted. And so we presented this closure, this invention, I'm sorry, into a very famous French competition, and it's called Concours Lépine.
Uh-huh.
It's super famous in France because all the French inventions come to that competition, and we get some awards, medals, and we received a gold medal actually for this invention.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
That's important too, especially when you are in a really busy city like Paris, to have a very secure bag.
Yes. I would say most of the time, in all cities, basically. I mean, just the fact that there are many, many people together. I mean, we never know. Pickpockets, they are everywhere. So I'd like to say cities like Paris. But, you know, when I go to New York City, they say, oh, my God, this is great for New York City. When I go to Marseille or whenever. I mean, all cities, basically.
Yes, I agree. Oh, looks good. Looking fine.
That's the way it is. When you carry the backpack, it's impossible to open it. Because the two snaps right behind, they lock the closure system.
Yeah. Like and that. So you guys ended up winning a gold medal for the closure and that invention. And then you can release it from the inside. Okay.
Exactly. And then you release the opening like that.
Okay. I love it. It's so versatile.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. And so your dad came up with this idea. He had been reselling for 25 years. He saw the need in the market for something like this. Yes. And he created the brand name. It's a very unique name. How did he come up with it?
Yes. The brand stands for Ari, Sabine, Yoni, our three, my brother and my sister, because my father got three kids, and the three names are the brands, basically. Ari, Sabine, Yoni, Arsayo.
I love that. And so keeping it within the family, you guys are like, okay, so dad named the business after me. It's not like I can go do something else. I have to work for my dad now. What is it like working all together? I'm sure that's really like a telenovela or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. We're working together. So yeah, working with the family, honestly, it could be very tough because we put much emotional feelings during our relationship, because you know when you talk to your brother, it's not like when you talk to a colleague, a standard
colleague.
Definitely not. Yeah, so sometimes it can be tough, but what is amazing is that we share together so many great experiences. Like for example, when we had the gold medal for this invention, we celebrated together, and this is kind of memories that will keep in our mind as a family memories, and yeah, those are great experiences that you can feel with your parents, your brother and your sister. It's pretty good.
It's much more like meaningful in a way for all of you guys to get through that and do it together and grow together. Mm-hmm. And you guys had gone from, you know, your dad had been doing more like B2C or B2B, and now he's moving into the B2C to cut some costs for the consumer themselves.
Yeah, true.
Because the final person who receives the bag ends up paying much more if they don't go direct to the consumer.
Exactly. This was one of the biggest challenge for RSIU, is to switch from the Made in China product, the Made in China production, to Made in Portugal production. Mm-hmm. Because we wanted to take a more ethical direction. And this means basically two things. Well, three things. The first one is to relocalize the production that used to be in China and now it is in Portugal. The second thing is more eco-friendly material. Mm-hmm. And the third point is to stop working with businesses, but now we work directly to the customers. We took that decision because now we think that what it used to be in the business and what it is actually the standards is that we produce the bag as less expensive as the cheapest as we can, and then we sell the bag to resellers, and then the resellers sometimes they sell the bag to other resellers, and in the end the final customer will pay the most expensive prices because there are so many markups. Mm-hmm. within the final price. And so we wanted to have a fair price for everyone. And this is part of the ethical direction that we wanted to take, because the production now is in Portugal. So it means that it's more expensive, and we didn't want to sell to resellers that would put markup. It's going to be so expensive for the final customers. Mm-hmm. So we want to present a good backpack, high quality, eco-friendly, and a good price as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that you're passing those savings on directly to, you know, the consumer, but it's not just ending there. You mentioned that you moved all of your production now back to Europe to make it local. So I just really like to point out that everything that you guys are doing is moving inch by inch to make it more sustainable and a better bag, better quality bag, and better for the environment and also the consumer. But you guys had said that, yeah, we're moving everything. We're making it a very transparent supply chain. Tell me a little bit about what goes into the bag now that it's more eco-friendly.
Yes. So we rethought everything about the backpack. So first of all, I would say, maybe I can show you the cork material.
Yeah.
First of all, the raw material for the backpack, we switched from pure synthetic, that was PU, polyurethane, to cork. And cork is a way more eco-friendly because this is 100% vegetal. We use the bark of the tree, the cork oak trees. And the production of the cork is right next to the workshop in Portugal. Oh. So it's very, very local. And what is amazing with this material is that you don't have to cut the trees for harvesting the barks. So okay. without killing the trees. So
that's great.
That's really good. And inside, the lining is made out of organic cotton. So our cotton is very important to choose organic because the conventional one is very much polluting. Even the closure systems and the snaps, they are made in Portugal and they are nickel free. So nickel is the heavy metal that could be very harmful for bodies. So we thought about everything in terms of material and how to build up the most sustainable backpack.
Yeah. And the other part too is it's not just corks. You guys are experimenting with other material that I had never actually heard of before, called apple skin.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about apple skin.
I'm very excited because we just launched this weekend the apple skin collection. So this is very, very exciting because this material is super promising. The apple skin let's start from the beginning. So how we make this material, we use the apples from the food industry. But it's not the pure fruit, it's the rest of the fruit, because in the food industry, for example, in the apple juice industry, they use the apple for the juices, and then all the rest, the fibers, the peels, all the rest, they threw away. But we actually take this material, and this is upcycle. We upcycle this material because we grind all those fibers, and it's becoming some powders. And we use this powder to put into a mixture of PU and the apple fibers. And this mixture helps the material to reduce the amount of synthetic with some apple fibers. And so that's why we call it apple skin.
Yeah, that works. I mean, I just love that, you know, you're thinking about where the materials are coming from. I mean, the cork, you're not ruining a tree. You're just, you know, scraping the outside. And then for the apples, I mean, who would have really thought, okay, let's take the leftover fibers and, you know, pulp and all that from apples and make a backpack? I never would have crossed my mind.
Yeah, so, this is the future.
Yeah, it's so creative and so thoughtful, so intentional. I love that. And I also really love that you guys are sticking to the bag itself, because your dad created this one model. It's also very intentional the way it's made. So it's bringing in the kids coming in hot with being, hey, dad, we're vegan now. We need to change the materials of these bags. We don't want heavy metals. We need organic cotton, because the cotton that you guys use is the highest certified cotton that you can get in terms of being organic, fair trade, making sure that nobody's harmed in the process of getting this cotton. I'm actually shocked about how much cotton actually impacts the world if it's done unintentionally. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think that too, when you have a bag like this that you can feel good about wearing, it's safe for you to wear in very crowded spaces, and it's super cute. So,
and super fashionable.
It is.
It's not the usual backpack that you see, because you don't use this backpack for doing sport, for example, because most of the time backpacks are more for sport. But this one is like a fashionable accessory that you can use with any style, any season, anywhere. So yeah.
Yeah, and the you had mentioned that your brother and you worked together on this apple skin backpack, got released this weekend. And you had an event this weekend with your brother's group, Fake, released the new line of backpacks, but also did something super unique with the event, which I'll get to in just a second. But tell me a little bit about the integration with Arceo and Fake.
Fake. So Fake, it's a movement, and Fake actually stands for passion for animal kingdom and environment. And we created Fake because we wanted to promote vegan and ethical fashion brands like Arceo. Basically, long time ago, when we participated to fashion fairs, we were not very comfortable by presenting our vegan backpacks, because most of the time people didn't understand what is vegan and why do we need vegan backpacks in the industry. And we were part of so many brands that were selling leather, wool, silk. We were not very comfortable in this type of events. So we decided to promote vegan brands like Arceo, but by building up our own events. And so my brother started in Los Angeles with pop-ups. So it was physical events with pop-ups in Los Angeles. And we started first with some brands. And there were so many interactions, attractive actions within the events, like free makeup, free photo shoots, gift bags. And it was such a great success that my brother organized other many events in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then last year, because of the COVID, we virtualized those events. And so there were many events, virtual pop-up events. But what happened this weekend was another type of event. This is the new generation of virtual events. It was an immersive 3D virtual events. So it's like a video game. You get into a room, it's 100% free. You just come into a room and it's a virtual room and it's all in 3D, three dimension. So you can walk around in a 3D space, and then you see the different booths from the different brands. Mm-hmm. And you just click on the booth, and then there is a video conference that pops up with the designer, and you can talk directly with the designers. So the designer can present their creations, and they can even start conversations by sharing the live streams. And it was so interactive and so great. And yeah, this was the first, we call it fake universe. And it was the first event like that. And I'm sure we're going to propose other events like that.
Yeah, it's also what's cool about it too is it's one of the very first, I think, virtual events that I've heard of. It's also, again, creative, from Apple Skin to VR shopping. And you guys can find it with your company. But bringing everybody together, and then also because it's virtual, let's say, I mean, I'm in Amsterdam or you're in the US or, you know, anywhere in the world, you can still explore and learn all about all these other sustainable brands and interact directly with the creator, which is really fun too.
Yes, I think this is one of the positive points from what happened with this craziness of COVID. Yeah. Is that we wanted to virtualize everything. And the good point is that, I mean, maybe let's say the bad point is that it's not physical, so it's not the real relations that you can have with your audience. But on the other hand, you can reach more people internationally. So it's pretty good as well, because thanks to that, we created some events, especially for promoting our brands and spreading our values internationally.
Yeah. And I also love that you guys aren't, you know, it's something that I find pretty consistent with a lot of sustainable brands, is that competition is, it's there. Obviously, you always have competition, but really you guys are bringing other brands up. You're helping promote, you know, sustainability, eco-friendly, protecting animals, protecting human lives, and making sure that anybody who has that same mission and value, that we're propping each other up, not breaking each other down. And, you know, my hat goes off to you guys. I mean, your dad, you know, being the entrepreneur leader that he is, and then you guys coming in with the extra, you know, pizzazz and different outlook on it. You know, you really took a very wonderful structured bag and turned it into something sustainable, and then also launched, you know, the fake movement, the fake universe. There's so much going on with what you guys are up to. And I just think it's really fun, innovative, cool, and fresh. It's a fresh new way for people to interact with sustainable brands. I mean, I think we have a little bit of a bad rap saying that we're maybe not as cute of clothes, or maybe, you know, we're extreme or something like that. This to me is the posh, cool, fun way to be sustainable and make those conscious decisions. So thank you guys for...
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much about this.
Yes, maybe if I can add something about what you just said, I cannot be more than agree with you, because those values, sustainability, veganism, transparency, those values are our fuel. And it's not only for us, it's the same as well for the other brands. So that's why when you mention about competition, we don't see us as as competitors. Because of course, if another brand does bags or backpacks, I would say, oh my God, that's perfect, because we need more brands to spread the same values. So we are connected with those values. And honestly, in front of us, we have big industries. I will not mention them, but big industries.
We all know who you are.
Yes. Yeah. but they are huge. They are huge. We are so small. So it's impossible to think about competition within the small businesses like us, because it's always better to bring our strengths together in order to spread the best values. And that's what we do. We are absolutely not competitors. We are together for a better world. That's the way we think.
Makes me smile. I just love it. And it, you know, it's one of my favorite things about doing business in sustainable, really anything sustainable, fashion, food, is that everyone really does share these values. And it's, to me, the next way of doing business. So I appreciate you being one of the forefathers and front runners doing this. But, you know, we've gone over the product. We've talked about the new materials you guys created, and then localizing all of the creation and development of that as well. And then the fake movement and then the fake universe. We've covered quite a bit, but if you were to leave the listeners with one thing you want them to remember, what would you want to say?
I want to say that we all have the power of voting our way of consumption. Every day you vote for a better world by eating this product, by using this jacket, by wearing this backpack. So every day you have the choice of getting active for a better world. So if you want to bring values into your day-to-day actions, this is now. You can start now, even with very, very small actions. And it's not a story about how to do the best. It's how to do the better. And so yes, maybe that could be the tip that I can give to everyone, is to consume with a consciousness, with a conscious basket.
Shameless plug. No, I love that so much. And again, like, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us today. I hope, you know, the listeners, if you really liked what you hear, we'll put everything in the show notes. You guys can get it back, check out these virtual events, maybe volunteer with Fake, you know, get involved. We have ways for you to do that. There's always something that you can do. Like Ari said, from something so small as changing the creamer in your coffee to oat milk, to, you know, maybe only, you know, stopping buying leather and doing cork leather or apple skin leather, something along those lines. So yes. Thank you again so much for joining, and we'll catch you guys all next time. Bye.
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us on another episode of Conscious Basket. And just a small reminder, Conscious Basket is not just hosting interviews. We are in the process of launching our marketplace, where our goal is to make it super easy for you to make conscious decisions about what you're buying by knowing the origin of the products and services. We're using our technology to highlight a transparent supply chain with our vendors, which means you know what goes into those products and where they came from, to make sure those things you buy don't weigh on your conscience. And to ensure this peace of mind, we have developed a score to rank the sustainability of the purchase. For instance, how much water is being used, trees saved, animal lives, human rights, and so on. So, if you're an entrepreneur with a sustainable product and would be interested in being on the platform, please email us at info@consciousbasket.com. Also, if you're an entrepreneur, thought leader, or academic that would like to be a guest on the show, please drop us a line at the same email. And if you're just interested in taking a closer look at us, you can also take a look at our website, which is www.consciousbasket.com. And as always, you can explore the topics we discussed in the show notes and find many more topics on all of our social platforms. So give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn @ConsciousBasket. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our show and leave us a comment with any key takeaways. I read them all. Share with your friends, family, post a screenshot on your social about the podcast so that we can extend our reach to help propel our movement forward. Finally, just another small reminder that perfectionism is not the goal here. In my opinion, perfectionism is what gets in the way of all of us collectively picking what I like to call your thing, which is whatever you choose to make a positive impact on this world. Thank you again for joining us.